Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard, Trevor Sikkema, and it is the end of the 2018 NFL
Draft. Don't say that, man. Don't say it like that
to me. It does hurt. It takes a part of you with it, you know? You invest so much time, and when it's over, you're happy to get back to sleep and seeing family and normal things. But
sunlight, you know?
I honestly don't know what that's like, and it's not just because I live in Pennsylvania. Chase Edmonds, Chris Campbell, Corey Cunningham, the day three crop for the Arizona Cardinals. We're going team by team, looking just at the day three crops, because we're going to get the full team class evals. We're making you guys wait. We're going to get the full team class evals later next week. That's going to be all our coverage next week. So for now, just looking at day three, man, trying to find out where teams found studs. Yep. I didn't hate it for the Cardinals. They have so many holes.
I thought it was fine. Chase Edmonds is the best back that was at the East-West Shrine weekend when he was there for practice before he got hurt. I think he's a good back. Obviously, a day three back was what he was going to be. And then Chris Campbell, he's a guy the Bucs were interested in. I thought he tested really well at his pro day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just wasn't a big name in the secondary, but I know he had a lot of interest from different teams. So snagging him up, I think, is it's a good risk. Certainly in the sixth round, I thought it was a good pickup for them. So I like
Cardinals.
They
needed a back, and I like that about Edmonds. He can catch the ball too. So, you know, if something happens to Johnson again, I mean, right now that backfield looks a little bit rough. Not a lot of people that I've heard of, per se, in that backfield. And so, yeah, Campbell actually might start. I don't even think he's that great, but there's no competition. I mean, Brandon Williams has really struggled. Benny Benwickery has been bounced around like 10 different teams. Marcus Williams is, you know, there's nobody that's like, okay, you know, he's going to sit for a while next opposite Patrick Peterson. I mean, this team's rough. Don't get me wrong. They've got a lot of work to do. But I think if you look at what they needed, you know, I mean, you wish obviously you could find, you know, better wide receivers, but you have Christian Kirk and you brought him in day two, and I think you just got to roll with it. Now, the big question for them is going to be the offensive line. I mean, they got Mason Cole, obviously, but they're apparently trusting, you know, they re-signed or they picked up a fifth-year option on DJ Humphries, so they're rolling with that offensive line. And A.Q. Shipley's going to get pushed, man, but A.Q. Shipley now at like 30 – how old is this dude? He'll be 32 years old at the end of May. Still grinding away. He's been on like 15 different teams. Mad respect for Mason Cole. Atlanta Falcons, day three.
I mean, I thought Ito Smith was good. I like him as a day three guy, but
Russell Gage is Mike Mayock's boy.
I don't know anything really about Russell Gage, but he was picked before EQ St. Brown and Darren Carrington and Simi Cobb, so I'm like, I don't know.
Auden Tate, former first rounder.
Auden Tate, like,
yeah.
Okay, I mean, you better be good.
He's
athletic,
I think I heard. I never heard of the Foy. I never heard of the linebacker.
I have no idea who this dude is. No idea.
We're going to be real honest with you on the pod. When there's day three guys we never heard of, we're going to tell you.
I've never heard of this dude.
Yeah, never. Ravens, Anthony Averett, you know, play a little nickel for you. I thought he was better 2 years ago, but if they can get him back to that, you knew they were going to take a Bama guy at some point. Kenny Young, you kind of like Kenny Young down at East West.
I like Kenny Young. He showed out at the East West Shrine practices, I thought. It's hard to stand out as a linebacker, but him on the West side and Chris Worley on the East side were two guys that I came away with like, hey, you know, they could play a little bit. There'll be some day three picks that I'm a fan of. So he was here. Julius Scott, another guy who was picked ahead of EQ St. Brown and Auden Tate and Darren Carrington and Simi Cobb.
Very much did not see that coming, dude.
Yeah, that was
very bad pick. Very bad pick.
Like, if you're going to pick a big dude, why would you not pick Auden Tate?
Why would you not pick someone who's actually somewhat good? I mean, I don't get me wrong. There's some flashes with Scott, but Baltimore's the worst wide receiver developmental team in league history, so he's not going to get better there.
Well, then we move on to Jordan Lasley.
Right. Who has tons of talent and is a huge character issue. Baltimore's a good spot
character
for guys
issue.
Like that.
Dude, did you see his dance moves warming up before the combine? That's all that matters. That's all the character I need.
He should have gone first round if we're actually, now that I'm thinking about everything.
You remember that video? Yeah,
oh my gosh.
Exactly.
The video was absolutely the best
lit.
Part of the combine.
Too lit, even. Maybe absolutely. That's why he went day three, because it was literally too lit.
Best thing that happened at the combine since Chris Jones' epic fall a couple years ago. Hat tip to the GOAT. Deshaun Elliott, actually, in the sixth round, I think that's a great, great pick. I don't know why I keep saying Deshaun.
No, I do, too.
It's Deshaun.
I like that.
It's just Deshaun.
Yeah.
It was a good pick, though. Bradley Bozeman at center? Sixth round. I mean, they don't have a center.
Yeah,
Skur is their center right now. He started last year, but they can definitely improve on it. It's a little competition. I mean, yeah, you can only do so much in one draft, but I thought it was good.
I don't really know a lot about Tanat or Sealer.
Sinat is a project, former basketball guy. Never heard of the Ferris State kid. Ferris State's had some guys in the draft lately, though. So, they especially on that defensive line, none of them have panned out, I don't think. So, it doesn't bode well for our boy down there in the seventh round. The Bills, Teron Johnson, I know a lot of people that really liked him. I thought he was one of the better corners at the Senior Bowl. It was not a good cornerback group at the Senior Bowl at all.
No.
But I thought he was one of the better ones. Saron Neal at safety. I mean, you've liked Saron Neal. Hybrid type of player.
I don't know about like, but like certainly was intrigued about him going into the Senior Bowl, sure, because he was a guy who played linebacker, then played safety, now moves out the corner. They announced him as a cornerback for the Bills, so that is where he's going to play. But you could just tell at the Senior Bowl, very raw in terms of experience for playing corner. And so he is 100% a developmental player, but a guy who's got size and strength and length for playing corner. And so he'll be a developmental dude. Wyatt Teller, I thought that was a good pick in the fifth round. Obviously, yes, it's a dude who his tape, his 2016 tape, we've talked about this, a lot better than 2017. So if you're getting the 2016 Wyatt Teller in this fifth round,
he could start for them. He should start for them this year. His competition,
you go.
They don't have any guards. There's competition. Last year, John Miller and Vlad Dukas battled it out for the right guard spot. Richie Incognito was the left guard. Incognito retired. Eric Wood retired at center, so Ryan Groy, you figure, would plug in there, or maybe Russell Bodine goes there, or Bodine goes there, and Groy goes to one of the guard spots, and then Miller and Dukas battle out for right guard. That's all a possibility. Either way, they're worse at center. They're worse as an offensive line if Bodine's in the lineup. I mean, I'm just going to be honest. He's terrible. So if Groy starts at center, Wyatt Teller's a natural left guard where the other two were playing right guard last year. I mean, it just makes sense to me. I think he can start. He's the rare fifth-round pick that's just going to get the opportunity to He probably gets the opportunity to run with the one. If he's on 2016 levels, he could be the best offensive lineman of the team. That's how good he was in 2016. But I just don't know, because 2017 wasn't horrible, but it made him a mid round pick to me, you know. And this was, I thought, still good value though in the fifth round. Ray McLeod, Austin Prohl, two guys, a receiver. Prohl's polished, McLeod is not. But like little scat back type guys who will do damage after the catch, I think is what they saw. Prohl, a guy who will get open easily, and McLeod, a guy who will do stuff after the catch. Looks like easy completion offense type of guys, doesn't it? Trying to give Josh Allen some simple options.
Yeah,
It's not,
you got to help
him
the best you can. You really do. So
you're talking about what are they both? Sixth and a seventh round pick. I don't know how Ray McLeod got drafted. It's really surprising to me. And you mentioned some of the guys who got drafted after him. I'm just like, what? It was bizarre that the Bills spent their fourth round pick, and their fifth round pick after trading away the arsenal that they had all on the defensive side of the ball because they need weapons, and they just didn't care. They just didn't care. They needed offensive linemen, they needed wide receivers, and they didn't address it. So I don't hate the players, but I hate the strategy. Like, to get a young quarterback that's as raw as Josh Allen and spend your next four picks on defense, Wyatt Teller's a good pick when you get back to offense, but, Prohl and McLeod are probably going to make this team just because the receiver group's so bad. It's horrible. Mm-hmm. Whatever a Brandon Riley is their fourth receiver right now.
Whatever a Brandon Riley is.
It's a bad room, dude. They could have done a lot more to help him. And there were some good receivers sliding on the board. Good for this class.
There still was like super late. So
yeah, they just,
that clearly is not their strategy going in though. So right. I don't know.
Don't help your young raw quarterback. Got it. Ian Thomas for the Panthers, I thought was a great pick to kick off the fourth round. Cause remember, this is probably it for Greg Olsen. He's getting up there. He's had some injury issues.
If Darren Sproles can re-sign for another year,
that's true.
And Greg Olsen can play another 10 years.
Either way, you got two tight end sets with Thomas. He's the kind of receiver I think Cam Newton will value. So I like that move a lot. I don't know a lot about Jermaine Carter and Andre Smith, the linebackers, but again, it wasn't surprising to me that they went linebacker.
I like Kendrick Norton, though.
Yes, that was a great pick in the seventh
round. Kendrick Norton was a real, quote-unquote, sleeper favorite of mine. Mm-hmm. I thought consistency certainly wasn't there to Miami, but when the dude flashed, I thought there were some plays where I was like, man, this dude can play. So
He's a run plugger in the middle of that defense, but, they got to Ontari Poe because they lost Starlu Tulele, and Poe might not play, full-time because he's getting up there a little bit, and so you get a guy that can step in and give you some of those snaps. I like that move. Marcus Haynes in the fourth was super interesting. A little higher than I thought he'd go.
I like Marquise Haynes. Well,
where does he play in Carolina, though? That's the interesting
part to me. I don't know. I don't know where he plays in Carolina. Because
they might move him off the ball.
Right. Carolina, it sounds like he's being like an off the ball dude. And Haynes just was not prioritized as an off ball linebacker at Ole Miss.
Right, at all. I mean,
he can't play DN for, especially, no. I mean, certainly for Carolina, can't
right.
play
DN. They have big DNs, you know, they've always
been. That don't work
thing.
Like that. So, and I mean, he's too small to play, Sam, right? How much does he weigh?
He might be able to do it, but he may just project.
I mean, that might be where they're playing him.
Yeah, that probably is where they'll play him.
But they play 4-3, so they're going to have to get creative with him. I like Marquise Haynes. I think he's a strong dude. I think he's a decent pass rusher. But yeah. I did think that the pick via Carolina was a little odd.
Bears killed it. Again, Bears might have the best draft. I think they did. I think they had the best draft. I haven't seen enough of this Joel. I'm not even going to try and say his last name. The linebacker from Western Kentucky they took in the fourth round. I've heard really good things about him. I'm excited to get to a full eval of his tape here soon. Bilal Nichols loved it in the fifth round. High upside guy. You know, what I wrote about him was if someone teaches this dude to pass rush, they're going to be fine. Like, he's going to be a good player in the NFL. Like, that's all they need. He's raw, but his testing was really good, dude. And he's like trim and like cut for a defensive lineman. He played nose and they played a 3-4, and that's not his spot. And I just think he's going to be such a better player for sub packages in the NFL if they teach him how to rush. And now he ends up with Vic Fangio. I love that marriage. Kylie Fitz in the sixth. You know, I've been banging the table for Kylie Fitz.
Yep.
I mean, a fourth round.
I like Javon Wims too.
Yeah, Javon Wims is basically a poor man's Allen Robinson, right? Similar type receivers. Guys, Wims is going to go up and compete and win.
I mean, I don't know how much the guy makes, but if you want to call him poor, sure. I mean,
oh,
I guess.
Oh, my gosh. Fitz tested way better than people thought, and he's going to play. He's going to move around, I bet, that Utah front. But he's a Vic Fangio type of pick for sure. The whole Bears draft to me was phenomenal.
Let's get to the Bengals because there's a lot to get to here.
The Bengals, Mark Walton, they took another running back. I'm not sure I totally get that pick.
I like Devontae Harris, another East-West Shrine standout dude.
Right.
He was fun. He was a lot of fun during the East-West Shrine Week. Very vocal guy. Was chirping at guys, so you always love that out of secondary players. He was aggressive in his style, and I think that fits the Bengals. Loved Andrew Brown. Obviously a big Andrew Brown fan.
I mean, he's just a raw upside guy. Take him in day three.
I mean, fifth round,
though.
Point.
Yeah, right.
I'd love Andrew Brown basically wherever he goes in the fifth round, so...
Darius Phillips has ball skills, return ability. Logan Woodside, a developmental quarterback in the seventh, whatever. You're wasting a pick, but that's fine. Rod Taylor was a guard that some people like, the fourth to last pick in the draft. And then I didn't see much of Rod Taylor, but Auden Tate with 253.
Yep.
You know, Auden Tate, we talked about this a little bit. He could have gone higher than this, and I think he probably should have. Because his testing was horrendous, like bad as it gets. But... he plays quicker on tape, and he does vary his stride length.
Yeah.
Like he does, and he wins in the air.
Right, so, I mean, and like it's not a first after the four combine, rounds, I but... went back. After the combine, I went back and watched more of Auden Tate, and it's like I said, I noticed, and it was like, all right, yeah, this guy is slow. He's slow. That's fine, but he wasn't like non-functionally slow.
Yes,
like agreed. he still made the plays. He still won in the air. He still was a good receiver. He's just okay. You know you're not going to get there's no hidden explosiveness out of him. It's not like he like holds back on routes or something like we've seen sometimes happens with wide receivers. Like a guy with like Chris Godwin last year where it's like he goes to the combine and you're like, you ran how fast? Excuse me?
Yeah.
And you kind of watch his tape and it's like, well, I didn't really see that in your tape, but I guess you have it, which is good. Auden Tate just doesn't. So his tape is still what it is. He still produces, but
I think the Bengals had a good draft, and I think Tate's a good part of it. I mean, even being the third to fourth to last pick in the draft, whatever, third to last pick in the draft. Because you got A.J. Green, you got Brandon LaFell for another year probably, and then maybe, I mean, he could get caught in camp. I don't know. John Ross, hopefully they don't switch him to corner. Tyler Boyd, Josh Malone, you know, the fourth rounder, he flashed a little bit. And then I think if you add Auden Tate to that group, he has a role. I think he has a role in this group.
I think he is a Bengal-like receiver.
Yeah.
You know?
Let him skyscrape, man. Let him go get it. I like it. I thought the Bengals did some really good things in the overall draft, but day three, yeah, they got a lot of picks, and they did pretty well with them, I thought. Now, the Brownies, your boy Antonio Callaway, man, take it away. What you got to say?
No, Antonio Gallo is good. I mean, top of day three, I thought that that's where you should have gone because
early day three, that's good for failing the test.
I mean, he's
and all the issues he had.
He's a good wide receiver.
I mean, I know some teams wouldn't draft him at all, so there's some variance there. But
I think he's a good wide receiver. I thought he was a great pick by the Browns. Whatever, they're getting dynamic as receiver, like with all their receivers, and they're saying, "Hey, you want a spot? Earn it." And Antonio Callaway, that's the case with him. You know, not only behaviorally, but now on the field too. He's going up against some good receivers, especially the ones that win in the way that he does.
Having he and Josh Gordon in the same receiver room, I just hope it doesn't backfire on him because those are both talented dudes. I want to see them reach their peak. That's all I'll say about it.
Jannard Avery in the after fifth, that though, like home that run. Pick too.
Great pick, terrific pick. Yes. Browns had a great draft. If Callaway ends up being half worth the risk and doesn't bring anybody else down, it's fine. You know, it's a home run draft. It is. It's exactly what we talked about yesterday. I don't know anything about Damian Ratley or Simeon Thomas. I heard is a great athlete, but that's all I know there. But sixth round picks, whatever. Take your risks on athletes at that point.
I don't really love the Cowboys.
Ratley
draft.
Ran fast. Cowboys, yeah.
I mean, I don't like Dorrance Armstrong. I don't really think he's going to be much in the NFL. Uh-huh. Dalton Schultz is.
Schultz is capable. I mean, he's good blocker.
Right? Yeah.
But they're going to need a guy to start probably. And I think he's like a very simple skill set for the most part, but he can start because he can block. And I think it was important to find a guy that could make you capable as an inline option when look at their guys now. If Witten retires as expected, you know.
Yeah, it sounds like he is.
I thought you would like it a little more because down at the bottom there, your boy Bo Scarr.
Oh, yeah. Shoot. Sorry, I didn't scroll down. No,
well,
I think
he's going to be their backup.
Right.
They don't have anybody. I mean, Rod Smith is their only other.
I think this is actually perfect for Bo Scarborough. Perfect.
How about I tweet it out? Bo Scarborough should back up Elliott in Dallas or whatever. And somebody thought that I meant like it would be a close race between he and Elliott to be the starter. I was like, no, clearly I'm saying he's not going to be the starter. He's going to be the backup. He'll be better than the backups. But I was like, what are you talking about?
I love it as a 1-2. I really do because the thing with the people talk about with Scarborough is like, oh, well, he can't take a full running load or he becomes ineffective once he does or like the injury history or whatever. Okay, Zeke is clearly the guy, but then if you got to bring Zeke out, you're bringing Bo Scarborough in? That's awesome.
Bo Scar needs a runway.
I think that's awesome.
And he went to an offensive line that can give him a runway.
Yes.
A freaking street.
Dallas is absolutely going to get the most out of Bo Scarborough if he's healthy. I can't wait for that.
Right. This is a good landing spot for him. Also, watch out for Cedric Wilson, that sixth-round receiver. You know, he's not all-around great, but he's got vertical ability. Might be a better version of Bryce Butler who made some plays there. Denver, you know, Denver had a good draft, I thought, but I just didn't think Josie Jewell was the pick. They made up for it. I think Deshaun Hamilton's a terrific pick. They are loaded at wide receiver.
Yeah.
They could have addressed other positions. You know, like the offensive line, they didn't really address the offensive line at all until the Sam Jones pick in the sixth round. But all in all, I mean, I think they got good talent, good players. I just worry they didn't do enough up front. And that's what slowed them down in recent years.
Sure.
So that's my one concern with Denver.
That's fair.
Love Deshaun Hamilton. I think Detroit nailed it because Deshaun Hand, it's just a run stuffer in the fourth. He's not going to be
rushability.
Oh,
they totally nailed it.
So I didn't like that. But Crosby in the fifth. Dude, great. Listen to this offensive line. Taylor Decker, Tyrell Crosby, Frank Ragnow, TJ Lang, Ricky Wagner. They're going to kill people.
Yep.
Like Ragnow and Crosby next to each other with Decker. Those guys destroy people in the run game. And then TJ Lang. He's not like a killer in the run game, but he's a great pass protector and he's super physical, edgy dude. I just think that group is fantastic.
Yep.
Phenomenal draft, by the way.
I thought it was good. And I mean, like, I like Nick Bowden for what he is. Seventh round pick. That's fine.
Yeah, get your fullbacks, man. Get him some love.
Got to talk with him at the senior bowl. Seemed like a great dude. And I mean, like, Deshaun Hand, you're taking a risk on a guy who didn't have a lot of production because he was sitting behind guys at Alabama that didn't never really develop from one spot because of it. He was just trying to get playing time here and there wherever he could. And so, I thought the risk in the fourth round on him was certainly fine.
The Lions fans are mad because they didn't find pass rush. But, you know, Ziggy Hyder comes back from injury. He looked great 2 years ago. He missed all last season. Zettel developed nicely last year. There might be more there than they're hoping. Do I wish they had an interior pass rusher? Sure. But there might be a little more than they're hoping. And Hyder can rush from the inside a little bit. How about the Packers? Adding a ton of wide receivers, right? Jamon Moore, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Equanimeous St. Brown. developmental big guys with athleticism. Packers MO at receiver. I liked all the picks. They needed to get better at receiver with losing Jordy, and they don't have much depth. And
they had a lot of receivers.
Yes, and cornerback, and they smashed those positions. The one area they didn't, I didn't think they did much for the pass rush. James Looney, though, watch out for him, the seventh round pick. He could be like a nickel pass rusher type of guy who gets in situationally. Okay. He's a guy to watch out for. He's a good athlete. He just needs a little more polish. The Texans, you know, to get – I thought Kuki Kute, I still don't know how they went through this draft and they just were like, yeah, we don't need tackles. We don't need them. I mean, they took Martinez Rankin, who's probably not going to play tackle. I mean, I don't know what they announced him at. And they didn't maybe announce him at tackle, but I don't think he's going to be a good tackle. He needs to move inside. I just don't know how you do that, man. You have our lads in front of you. Pull up the Texans depth chart. Look at these dudes. They've got Julian Davenport, who barely played last year despite being on a team with the worst tackles in the league, fourth round pick, and Chantrell Henderson.
Ooh.
I mean, that's their tackles. Ooh. How do you just say, yeah, we're cool? We'll ride.
They're
those
the dudes. Seahawks strategy.
Yeah, dude. It's a bad strategy is what it is. But Duke Ejiofor in the sixth round is just
absolute steal.
And Kalambaya, too, the sixth rounder, he's the guy that I think from Stanford could really develop into a player, and he's going to be versatile. He's going to move around Cornell's front. Like, you know,
Jordan Thomas is the dude who...
You liked him, too.
I mean, I don't know if I liked him, but he came into this East-West Shrine practices as a wide receiver.
Right. So he has like some of that weird potential. Right.
Yeah.
That range of the draft. You know, I think quietly the Colts had a better third day than they did a second day. I think Hines is obviously a good pickup in the fourth round. Do I wish they got like a guy who projected to a true feature role? Yes, but Hines and Wilkins and Mack are going to give you some slash and dash in that backfield. And Hines is a very good receiver. So I thought that was a good pick. I know you were very impressed with what you saw from Fountain.
Yeah.
Northern Iowa wide receiver. And then Deion Kane, I think to get him in the sixth round's terrific. I thought he was like a late third round type of talent. Excuse me. I know there was off the field issues with him that could be an issue, but he flashes a lot. He mossed Carlton Davis when they played. Like he sunned him a couple times.
Yeah.
I don't know either of the linebackers they took in the seventh round, but they still have the worst. I mean, the roster's still terrible, but.
Jeez, man.
I'm sorry. It is. Come on.
That's fair.
Jaguars, Will Richardson, if he kicks into guard, love it.
I mean, I like Will Richardson. Tanner Lee is Blake Bortles. Leon Jacobs is a bodybuilder.
They took Tanner Lee the sixth. Tanner Lee got drafted and Quentin Meeks didn't.
Yeah, but Quentin Meeks went to the Jaguars, so that comes around.
That all came back around. How about the Chiefs? Armani Watts, he didn't test well. He's super small. He missed
a ton
of tackles on
that Armani Watts went to the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I totally missed that.
Yeah, well, wasn't much to miss. I haven't seen Tremont Smith. I know some people really like him. And Reggie McKenzie, Kyle Krabs told me he was the last player. Out of the 300 players he evaluated, he was dead last. So I'm trusting Kyle on that one. Chargers, Kaiser White's interesting, but also kind of weird because they picked Derwin James already and they already have Jaleel Adai or whatever. And he signed a long-term deal there. I think it was long-term.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they have like maybe three similarly type safeties.
Maybe they're moving Kaiser to linebacker. I don't know.
And remember, who's it? Rayshon Jenkins from last year. Another guy projects better around the line of scrimmage, I think. So.
Maybe the Chargers are going to go a no deep safety look.
Maybe they re-sign Trey Boston and then they just have this loaded safety room. I like the Quisenberry pickup, to be honest.
No, Quisenberry's good.
Because
he's
a decent, capable starter, and Mike Pouncey's going to get hurt by week three. So,
ouch. Okay. I didn't wish that on anybody. Justin Jackson.
I don't wish it on him. I just
Justin Jackson, Riley Allman and I were talking about it. Literally the definition of just a guy, like could not fit it more to a T.
Very fitting description. I actually was a little bit surprised he got drafted.
Oh, 100. Yeah.
I mean, he was 251 out of 256. So,
yeah.
The Rams had like 1,000 day three picks. So we'll try and go through them quickly. You liked Brian Allen at the Shrine game, and a lot of other people did too.
I did.
Clearly, the NFL did.
Used his leverage very well. So I liked it.
I never watched John Franklin Myers, but they took Samson Ebukam in the same range last year, and everybody was like, who is that? and I'd actually seen him. So, but Franklin Myers, haven't seen him at all. I'll have to get back to you on that one. Micah Kizer in the fifth. I choked.
That's too high for Mike.
too high. Too high for Micah Kizer. Abani Okoronkwo. Okoronkwo in the fifth.
Eating something, and they say Micah Kizer, and just like
spit it all over the floor. It's disgusting. Just like Kizer's tape. Abani Okoronkwo in the fifth round, though, that was a good pick.
Yeah.
John Kelly in the sixth, that was a good pick. That was a great pick. You need a backup for Gurley. What if he gets hurt? They don't have any real. I mean, Malcolm Brown.
No, John Kelly's perfect for Gurley, too.
And he can run routes. They can get him on the field at the same time. I love John Kelly. He's fun. Jamil Demby could play guard or tackle, but he's probably not very good at either. You know, Trevon Young is super interesting because he got picked 205, and I would bet that most teams in the league had him off their board. He had a hip injury a couple years ago at Louisville. They didn't think he'd ever play football again. He came back. He wasn't the same player at all. I was really interested in him a couple years ago. Wasn't at all interested when I watched him this season. I thought the Hearns, the other guy on the other side, was better. But if he could ever get back to that, I can't believe they took him at 205. And not that it matters that much because they had 1,000 day three picks. And let's be honest, like, once you're getting to round six, it's kind of a crapshoot anyway. But I was just surprised. I did not think he would get drafted at all because he wasn't the same. He didn't have great production when he came back, and it was just kind of surprising. Haven't seen Travon Howard at all. Saw a little bit of Justin Lawler. I thought he was terrible, but it was 244, so who cares? They drafted a ton of edge guys. They're just trying out these different types, just trying to get guys that Phillips can develop. What about the Dolphins? Kalen Ballage?
I mean, I like Kalen Ballage. It just seems like the Dolphins get a lot of...
He's Kenyon Drake. I told you that. He's Kenyon Drake with less upside as a runner. Just a bunch of
these dudes. It doesn't really take him anywhere. It doesn't really help him anywhere.
Durham Smythe.
But I don't hate him. It's just a bunch of dudes. That's what I think that the Miami Dolphins roster. Just
dudes being dudes. Kalen Ballage is so similar to Kenyon Drake, and I had said that
to
you.
It's the same guy.
But here's the only thing. Kenyon Drake hardly ever carried the ball at Alabama because of, who was there? Derrick Henry. So he hardly ever got the ball. He was mainly a returner, receiver type of guy, and didn't get many carries. Ballage is... I know he wasn't. I'm not saying he got the heavy workload, but he got like wildcat carries. They try to give this guy the ball in every way, and he just was not making plays. So, all that to say, I don't think that this pick helps him very much. I never heard of Cornell Armstrong, the Southern Miss DB, and Quentin Poling. I know. I think Lance Zierlein was saying he's going to get drafted, the Ohio linebacker. He got drafted at 227, and then the kicker they took in the seventh. So, can't really comment too much on those guys. The Vikings took a kicker in the fifth, and he is someone
not
an
Ipaniero, which is
my
really
wife's family knows Daniel Carlson.
Oh, wait. Hold on.
Piñeiro didn't get drafted, did he?
No, he didn't. And the Dolphins, I forgot to mention this, the Dolphins in the seventh round picked a kicker from New Mexico, Jason Sanders, who is a 75% kicker.
What?
He's like a 7. I actually think it's a 72. He's a 72% career kicker, and they took him before Eddie Piñeiro, who was the best kicker in college football last year.
I am triggered about that because
that's what I tweeted out. This is evidence number 300,000 that I do not accept that NFL teams know what they're doing by default. Kicking more than any other position is just okay, man. Can he kick? Or not.
Did he make them or did he not?
Because like, Eddie Piñeiro, and I'm not just standing for a Florida dude, like,
well,
he is accurate and he kicks it far. Okay? Those are the two qualifications to play kicker. Jason Sanders couldn't put it between the pipes.
Who is Jason Sanders?
I don't know.
I'm about to look this up. Even if it means we have to skip over a couple teams quickly, this is important. Jason Sanders, college stats. Sports Reference we're going with. Let's see if they got... Okay, here we go. Good news. Holy moly, he's kicked a lot of extra points in his life. In his career, right. 111 right. for 112 from extra points. 99.1%.
Okay. Great.
In his career as a field goal kicker, 71.4%. He was 3 of 7 in 2015. 12 of 13 in 2016. Okay. Then 10 of 15 last year. 66% of his field goals.
Unbelievable.
Dude, that's, you can't do stuff like that.
They drafted that guy.
You can't do stuff like that. That's a big no-no. Eddie Pinheiro on the board.
All right, Vikings, whatever.
Let's see what his long is now that we're on it. He's kicked 5 of 50 plus before.
Okay. Pinheiro's actually made his, so. Yeah,
well, I'm not sure.
All right, Vikings. Anyway. That guy's going to turn out to be the highest scoring player in NFL history. So, and people are going to find
this. People will find this pod. He'll go to the Hall of Fame. People will find this pod and just destroy us.
Vikings, fourth round. Love Jalen Holmes. Fifth round, like Tyler Conklin. That's about all I got.
Colby Gossett's a great developmental pick for them. I love that move. I like Conklin as well. I know you like Holmes. He's going to be a nickel inside rusher for them. Aruna, the edge from Tulane, just needs development. He's explosive and big. He just needs development. And I think that he went to the right spot for that. So typical Vikings draft. Typically, I'd expect good things to come of that. Didn't really care for anything the Patriots did on day three, to be honest. Nothing. Danny Etling getting
Braxton
drafted
Berrios.
Was disgusting.
Braxton Berrios, though.
No.
You know?
What? Come on.
All of us saw that pick from 8 billion miles away.
For
the
sure.
second Braxton Berrios was born, he has been destined to be selected in day three by the New England Patriots.
Yes.
From the day he was born.
It literally was his destiny. Yeah,
I don't
care for
anything. Destiny before conception as well. I'll have to look into it.
No, it was that was accurate. You were right.
Okay.
Yeah. The Saints,
I like Jamerson.
The whole Saints draft was.
I like Jamerson though.
Wow, I haven't really seen Jamerson. I think he tested well though, didn't he?
I can't remember what he tested, but I know he did well at East West Shrine games.
Rick Leonard
I can only,
in the fourth round might have been. It was one of the worst picks of day three. Rick
Leonard might be the worst offensive tackle in this class. He got picked in the fourth round.
This is unbelievable. I can't even believe that did that. That's unbelievable to me. Boston Scott's a little scat back type. PFF likes him. I know that. Cameron Moore's scrappy in the slot. You know,
wow.
So they got guys that can help, I guess.
A team with grit. A team with true grit.
Yeah. Saints didn't have a lot of big needs to fill, you know. The Giants only had
Laletta.
You know, it's like I say, Laletta's going to keep this team. If he ever gets to start, he's got enough. If the situation is perfect around him, they'll be somewhere around 500. That's it.
Yeah, sure.
It keeps you in QB purgatory when you're trying to get a franchise guy. You're not high enough to get it, so then you have to give up assets to go get one. No thanks. I'd rather suck for a year. RJ McIntosh got some developmental ability. No clue why they feel like they needed two defensive linemen in this class. I just don't understand. Not a position, really, that Betcher's even prioritized in the past, which made it even funnier. The Jets on day three, Chris Herndon got a starting tight end, a little Perry Dickerson action, a little Foley Fatukasi action. I
thought
it was a good draft
pick. I like Herndon and Fatukasi especially. Yep. I thought those were good.
Yep.
Thought there's good rap value for those dudes as well.
Never heard of Virginia State, actually, and never heard of the running back that they took in the sixth round.
Trenton
Cannon.
Jets, man, low-key.
Low-key. Low-key, they passed on the best quarterback in the draft for the third best quarterback in the draft.
Low-key,
they screwed themselves.
Low-key, though.
Raiders actually had a great day three. Nick Nelson, I love. I thought he's a great third-round corner, and then Maurice Hurst is the top 10 player in the class.
And then Johnny Townsend's the best punter in the class.
The Hurst situation confuses me. Either he's healthy enough to play and you take him high, or he's not healthy enough to play and he can't play and he won't play and you just don't draft him.
I guess risk reward all the
What's
way to the fifth round, right?
Doctors either say, yeah, this guy can play, he's fine, or this guy can play. Like, I don't understand the risk. I'm not a doctor, so I didn't like any of their other picks in either day. But Johnny Townsend, I guess I don't know anything about.
Hell yeah. No, he's good.
Good punter?
Yeah, he's a good punter.
All right, if you say so. Eagles got Josh Sweat on day three, so, I mean, nothing else really mattered.
They
continue to get good players.
They win.
They're disgusting.
And they picked that giant-ass dude who plays rugby rules football from
Which
Australia.
Which was awesome to watch, yes.
Bro, he's 6'8", 347, with 35.5-inch arms. What in the hell?
Yeah, dude. It's pretty awesome. Watching him run through people's face
was
great.
How do humans get that big?
I can't tell you. I tried, but I fell short of those standards. The Steelers just love box safeties, man. took a bad one in the first round. Their safety in the fifth round is clearly better on tape than their safety in the first round. So there's your first major issue. I mean, you can't even disagree with that. That's true. But here's the thing. Excuse me. Allen is at his best near the line of scrimmage. Edmonds can't play single high because it'll be a disaster. He can't process or anything. So
you realize they're going to put him at single high, right?
Dude, they already said Morgan Burnett's starting at single high, so which is absurd, but their best option because they don't know how to draft. Jalen Samuels, I mean, fine, whatever.
Joshua, you were Frazier's a big not Jalen Samuels fan, so I was.
Well, no,
was
this range of the draft, I was fine. I had him like late. I had him like right in this range of the draft, like early fifth. So this was good value for him. It just, you know, whatever. It's just, you know, it's not going to be your long term guy.
Josh Frazier wore 69 in Alabama, so they call him the sex machine. That's all I got.
Yeah, he actually, that's actually phenomenal, and and he's actually a good player. He's going to make Daniel McCullers expendable. He'll be a backup nose tackle, whatever.
Okay.
It's amazing that the Steelers looked at Vince Williams and John Bostic and Tyler Matkevich as their linebackers and were like, yep, we're ready to roll. Like, oh.
Bring on week one, baby.
All right, here we go. 49ers had a good day. Street got drafted too high, but DJ Reed's a good player. I know you like Marcel Harris.
My boy.
Julian Taylor, I've heard good things about, and I'm actually real excited to get to his tape, even though he was a seventh rounder. And then Richie James at 240. I'm not like a it's Richie fine. James truther, but he's a speedster. Like, you take guys with trump cards that late in the draft.
Yeah, absolutely. I liked it. I liked all the pick. I liked their whole draft.
Niners
like,
did, yeah. Yeah. John Lynch is good at this job.
Yeah. No, John Lynch is really good at this job.
For the most part, Seattle was pretty bad, but Shaquem Griffin, DeMarco Jones, that made the draft. They probably won't let Jones start. They'll probably keep Ifeedy in the starting lineup. But
yeah.
The Bucks. What do you want to say about your Bucks?
I thought the Bucks' entire draft was pretty beautifully drawn up. Jordan Whitehead's pretty interesting because he's an athletic dude. I think he's more athletic than his combine number showed. He's a guy who played running back and safety for Pitt, which is kind of like all over the place. Mm-hmm. He definitely like needs work just honing in on the safety position, and that'll come, but they like betting on athletes. He's kind of similar to Justin Evans in that regard,
right?
With his athleticism, and I know how they're going to use him. People are going to be like, oh, you just comped him to Justin Evans. No, I'm talking about like how they're going to use him and how they prioritize certain athleticism, because they like to use both of their safeties very similarly to either be able to drop back or drop up or walk up or drop back on any given play. Justin Watson, just a good football player, athletic guy. He's going to take over so they don't have to re-sign Humphreys for $3 million a year after the season. So that's a good thing. And then Jack Sitchie, you know, they're betting on a guy in the sixth round who a lot of people really liked on his production and his character. And I think, you're drafting good football players near the end of the draft. And I think that was very key for the Buccaneers.
Yep. Good, really good draft for them. Obviously, great draft for the Titans. Dane Cruikshank in the fifth round. He was a third round grade for me. Love that pick. I think he can develop and be the running mate next to Kevin Byard for sure.
And Luke Falk's trash. Agreed.
Luke Falk's garbage, yeah. But he got picked at 199, so there was like a three-minute segment on NFL Network where they talked about him and Tom Brady because it was the same draft spot, and Falk loves Tom Brady, so it was terrible.
Sick.
The third
Redskins
day for the
always
Redskins.
And forever have the strangest draft.
So true. Troy Apke, athlete who didn't have good tape. I guess maybe there's some development there. But that was Monte
Can't
Nicholson,
white
too.
Speed,
so.
Dude. Can't teach That's, it.
That is very true, as Dion will tell you. Tim Settle in the fifth was terrible. I mean, it's, what are you going to do? It's bad. Sean Dion Hamilton's okay. I mean, the sixth round, I thought he would go undrafted, to be honest.
I thought he would, too. So I thought that was interesting. But, like, I like Sean Dion Hamilton a year ago when we were doing our top fives for positions.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I kind of like Sean Dion Hamilton. I think he was LB5 for me when we were doing the –
Yeah,
hey, you know,
yeah
that's
I think you're right, yeah.
That's before we watched.
Before he got hurt again, yeah.
Right. I liked him. Sucks he got hurt.
He will at least be very good on special teams, for sure.
Greg Stroman, I know a lot of people are kind of like hiving for.
He's solid, yeah. For 241, I think he's a good. That's a good spot for him. I'd like to draft him there. I mean, he's solid corner. And Trey Quinn, Mr. Irrelevant, he's a fourth-round grade for me. I think he can play. He'll be the fourth receiver in Washington, I think. He definitely makes that team. I definitely think I'll put money on Trey Quinn making that team. Good draft for Washington overall. Wasn't perfect. Good enough. There's your thoughts. Day three thoughts. We got full class evaluations. we'll incorporate undrafted free agents. I know we've seen some of them, but we're going to try and wrestle all those into our evaluations next week. All kinds of really cool stuff going down for you. But obviously, thank you guys so much for listening throughout the entire draft season. But we don't stop. I mean, we go 5 days a week. We go year round. We talk draft. We talk how they'll fit in the NFL. We took a team. We looked at team outlooks all last summer. Really fun pieces that a lot of you guys tuned in for. You know, we'd love for you guys to stick around through the entire year. I think we have a lot of fun on the pod. We talk football. We talk NFL. We don't just talk about, oh, who's going to go first in the draft next year. We build toward it. You know, that's what we do. And I think we have fun year round. And so if you guys have joined us for the draft, I think we'd love for you guys to stick around if you like listening to us.
I really appreciate, you know, from somebody you do. I can't remember when I came on. It was sometime in
March. It's been a year now. It's been over
March, February. It's basically been a year for me. And doing this every day has been, you know, at first it was just kind of like, it was almost kind of just an idea, like something to do with you and to talk about with the draft. And it was just kind of a thing that we picked up. But then as the season went on, as I got to interact more and more with you guys on Twitter, and then, you know, when the Senior Bowl comes around and then the combine, you know, people are saying like, hey, I listen to your stuff all the time. I love you guys on Locked On, you know, that stuff, it makes me smile. And it's cool to hear that you guys listen to this. That kind of support's awesome. And truly, the best part of this job is getting to not only obviously covering the draft, but getting to interact with all you guys, hearing your thoughts as well, the back and forth, the different opinions. It's been a blast. It's been such a great year. It's been a lot of fun. I can't wait to start digging into next year. As insane as that sounds, I mean,
I know.
We'll do a little bit of a look back here over the next couple of weeks. And we'll let you guys refresh your batteries a little bit, but we're going to jump right back into it because this is a blast. There's a lot of fun
doing this. We've got a lot of stuff to do looking at who was just drafted and teams and fits and things like that, and evaluate that stuff over the summer and then into camps and who's getting starting spots and things like that.
But also,
obviously, you know, looking ahead to next year's draft, really excited to do that too eventually. You know, we got to take a break here. I mean, we're going to still be on the pod, but we got to, you know, before I dive into some more tape, but I already know some names. I was taking notes this whole year. Y'all thought I was just watching 18. Nah, your boy has an extra set of eyes for those guys for next year's draft. So it's going to be a fun class. We're going to have a lot to talk about for next year. So great stuff as always. We really appreciate and thank all you guys. And as always, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.